Take your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 7. I've got several scriptures kind of cooking in my heart this morning. There's two basic places that the message today will stem from. How many of you all, don't you lie to me, but I'm asking a question. How many of you all have been paying attention to current events? How many of you all have been paying attention? Okay, that's great. I'm going to tell you, that makes a pastor proud. You should be paying attention. Amen. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we shouldn't have our heads buried in the sand as to what's going on around us. How many are aware that there is an intense division in our country? How many is aware that it's growing more intense every day? And the things that are dividing us are not so much now. I mean, there was a time when black and white, that divided the nation to some degree. But the things that are dividing us now really could be boiled down to righteousness and unrighteousness. And I want to bring a message this morning. A lot of people think that the division is Democrat-Republican. I don't believe that. And I'm going to show you something this morning that I think will help you to rest. That's my goal, that we'll just pray, do what we can, but that we'll rest in Him, even in a day of unrest that we live in. God wants us to rest in Him. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 7, if you're able, in reverence to God's Word, stand with me, and let's read a few verses here together. The Bible said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. How many is glad there come a time in your life when you got thirsty? When you realize that the things of this world were never going to satisfy you. And there was a thirst from within. I personally believe that God created all of us with a void in our life that only Jesus could fill. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, they said, of a truth, I'd like for you to underline that word truth. We're going to talk a lot about that word truth today. Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? Now notice verse 43. So there was a division among the people. Somebody tell me the last three words. Was it because of Pilate? Was it because of the Pharisees? Was it because of the Sadducees? Was it because of the devil? Who was it because of? It was because of him. Friend, I just want to say this. Brother Steve read a verse yesterday over in our visitation. God pointed my heart to this verse, and I wanted to share it yesterday morning, but I knew immediately it was for today. Jesus, listen to me carefully, is a divider of men. That cross that we sang about this morning, on either side or both sides, on that side there was a man and on this side was a man. Never shall forget it. Years ago I had children's church at Landmark Baptist Church. I took me some landscaping timbers, Brother Houston, and notched them out and nailed them together and made me three crosses. There was a bank there at the back of the church. And I drove me some rebar in there, and I fastened those three crosses to that rebar. The rebar was behind, so you couldn't see it. And I preached to a bunch of kids how that one man on that side, he didn't trust Jesus, so he died in his sin. How that another man on this side, he did trust Jesus, so he died to his sin. How that man in the middle never sinned, but he died for our sin. Simple message. You know what I believe? I believe the simple message is still separating men today. Jesus died for our sin according to the Scripture. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. One man believed that and he looked over and he said, Lord, remember me. He had just heard Jesus cry, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The other thief said, if you're the Christ, come down and get us down. I want you to know this morning, there's still a division among the people. And it's still because of him. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you'll meet with us today in this service. God, I ask you this morning to clear my mind and my heart that I might say what you want said. Leave off anything, Lord, that would be of the flesh, contrary to your will. Lord, there'll be a day when I'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ, give an account. God, I take this very seriously. I pray, Father, today that you'll speak through us, speak to us, save that one that's lost, our Father. Lord, in a crowd this size, there's almost always somebody that needs the Lord. God, we never know who they are, but God, thou knowest. I pray, Father, that you'll speak to hearts. Help us this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. There's another passage of Scripture where this is brought out. It would be in John chapter 9. I don't have the time this morning, excuse me, to go into all of that, but I'll just sum it up for you. This is where the man that was born blind, Jesus took the clay and the spittle. He made the clay and he put it on his eyes and he healed him. The Bible said, go show yourself. And Jesus said when he came back, he came seeing. And they wanted to know how it happened. And the mother and the father, this is one of the saddest passages to me in the Scripture. They were fearful of being kicked out of the synagogue. So their answer was, he's of age. Ask him. And this man, he told him about a man named Jesus that had touched his eyes and caused him to be able to see. And the Word of God said in John chapter 9, in the midst of that Scripture, in verse 16, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. This was talking about Jesus. The Pharisees are saying, Jesus is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And the Bible said, and there was a division among them. Could you put yourself in that scene that day? This man, they said, the Pharisees said to this man that was healed, they said, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. That's what they said about Jesus. And that man that was healed, he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I know not. What he's saying is, I don't really know if he's a sinner. But there's one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. I'll say to you this morning, there's a whole lot of things in this world that I don't know. But I know there's a time when I was blind. I know there's a time when I was lost. I know there's a time when I was guilty. But I know that I met Jesus. And he saved my soul from sin, from death, from hell. And I thank him for that. So again, this is two different times in the Bible that the Bible talks about there being a division among the people because of him. Something happened here just a little while back, and I believe that this is where the Lord wants me to kind of bring the message this morning. There was a hearing in the United States Senate. And one of the men, and I'm not going to name names, it's not that I'm afraid to, but I don't have to name names to get the point across. One of the men, speaking of the lady that testified in the hearing, he made reference to this. He made reference to her truth. I'm telling you something this morning. We're walking on dangerous ground. When Brother Gale, it's his truth. Brother Rose, it's his truth. Brother Steve, it's his truth. Brother Wayne, it's his truth. Even Pastor, it's his truth. Brother Thurman, it's his truth. Brother Sam, it's his truth. Let me tell you something, beloved. Truth is still truth. There's no such thing as your truth and my truth. I'll tell you what there is. There's his truth. The Word of God. Now listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, you done been talking about Jesus over there, and there's a division among the people because of him. I'm still right on that subject. But this right here is what's dividing us. Some people believe this. Some people don't believe this. That's why some people believe it's all right to shack up, and other people don't believe it's all right to shack up. That's why some people believe it's all right to lie through your teeth, and other people don't believe that's right, because God said, thou shalt not lie. That's why some people believe in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and other people don't believe that. Amen. That's why some people believe that God made us in his own image, and other people believe we come from a monkey. One old preacher said one time, he said, some of my ancestors may have hung by their neck, but none of them swung by their tail. That's why some people believe that when these ladies come in here, and that deli's out there like my daughter's is right now, it's way out there right now. I accuse them to start with swallowing a mater seed. And then I tell them, well, it looking like a cantaloupe seed now. Before it's over and done with, I mean, they've done swallowed a watermelon patch. Say amen. That's why some people believe that that's a life in there. That God's got his eyes on that life in there while its substance is not yet perfect. And that while its members are still being formed. That's why other people believe just a blob and you can do with it whatever you want to. Is anybody getting the message so far? There's a division among the people because of him. That's why some people believe it's all right for a man to marry a man. I don't know about you, but it just turns my stomach to see a man make a gesture towards a man like that, or a woman make a gesture. And there's a reason for that. It's against nature. If I wasn't even saved, it'd turn my stomach. There's a division among the people. It's because of him. You know, I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, so listen to me carefully. Among God's people, down through the years, there's been division among God's people over the color of the wall, or over the color of the carpet. Help me. have a baptistry or don't have a baptistry, have a fellowship hall or not have a fellowship hall, have a Bible school or don't have a Bible school. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a division that's being taught in this Bible that we need to think about in these days that we live in. Brother Thurman, you guys help me. Brother John, they got an assignment. They know what it is. Amen. I want to give you some things this morning. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter 28. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 28, I want to read verse 4. The Bible said, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." Drop down with me now to verse 15. "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Look at verse 17 with me, please. The Bible said in verse number 17, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place." In verse number 18, the Bible said, "And your covenant with death shall be annulled." Let me just say this to you this morning. Everybody, doesn't matter if they're in America or anywhere else in the world, that's making a covenant that's outside of this book, it will be annulled. Mark her down. It may gain them prestige. It may gain them power for a moment in time. But eternity will reveal the truth. The Bible said it'll be disannulled. "And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it." Back up to verse 17 for just a moment. The Bible said, "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet." If you look that word up in the scripture, that word plummet, it's talking about a weight that's tied to a string. I'm going to check these teenagers out. Any of you guys know what this is? You don't have any idea, do you? Nick, that looks like something you'd tie on a fishing line if you're going to fish way out there, right? Amen. It's heavy. Amen. Make a good sinker. How many of you men in this church know what this is? How many of you ladies know what it is? Praise God. There's some smart women in here. Amen. And I was smart to say that. Help me, Brother Thurman. I can't reach my own back. Thank you, brother. Amen. What's it for? I don't know if there's a correct name for it or not. Somebody correct me, but ever since I've been around Daddy, it's always been called a plumb bob. I don't know why it's not a plumb gale or a plumb Steve, but it's a plumb bob, amen. I don't know why. Called a plumb bob. I'm going to show you what it's for. Now, let's suppose that that light right there, that one right there, to the right of that speaker right there, let's suppose that we wanted to find a spot on the floor and put that light directly over top of that spot on the floor. We want that light 24 foot 4 inches from that wall. We measure over here. You say, well, how come you don't just measure up on the ceiling? Somebody look at the ceiling. The ceiling goes up and then it goes over. If you run your tape measure up and over, it'll lie to you. A tape measure has to be run straight. So I got 24 foot 4 inches I want to bring over here. I put me a crow's foot. How many knows what a crow's foot is? I'm losing you now, aren't I? Amen. Amen. Brother Tim, I lost them, didn't I, buddy? Amen. That's just a mark. It goes like that to a point, because that point is right where you want it, right on that point. So what I would do, I'd put my mark there, and I'd have somebody like Brother Thurman down on the ground, and Brother Thurman would steady that down there. Okay, let's see if we can get this here. Not now. You should have done that a while ago. Good night, boys. My name is Donald Trump, and you're fired! All right. All right, fellas, if you will, just move that ladder right over out of the way, okay? I appreciate that. Try not to tear my plumb bob down on the way. Amen. Okay. So what's it for? What's it for? The purpose and the reason is that we want to put something down here in perspective with something up there. The relationship between up there and down here, because of gravity, this line don't lie. We were back here working on the shelter. You remember that, Brother Houston? And you've got a 4 foot level, Brother Houston. It don't matter which way you turn it. I've got a 4 foot level. It's been dropped about 100 times, and it's got arrows on it. If you want to get halfway close, you better turn the arrows towards what you're trying to plumb. But this line won't lie. You know what this line is? It's straight up and down. It is absolutely straight up and down. Let me read you a statement. I think this will hit home this morning. While it's estimated that 74%, this is in 1991, 74% of Americans strongly agree that there is only one true God, one who is holy and perfect, and who created the world and rules it today, an estimated 65% either strongly agree or somewhat agree with the assertion there is no such thing as absolute truth. 65%. How many's been around long enough to know that it's worse now than it was in 1991? In 1991, there was 65% of the American people believed there was no such thing as absolute truth. So they would never stand here and say, you know what? That's straight up and down. That's plumb. And yet we know that it is, because of the law of gravity. The purpose is for something down here to have a relationship to something up there. God gave us something. A plummet. Look what the Bible said right here. We read it in your hearing just a while ago. Judgment also will I lay to the line. What's God's line? How do you know what's absolute truth and what's not? I'll tell you how right here. Let me give you some things this morning. I'm going to hurry. There's absolute truth concerning the Savior. Amen. Born of a virgin? Yes, he was. Help me. Amen. Lived a spotless, sinless life? Yes, he did. Somebody help me. Say amen. Died on an old rugged cross? Yes, he did. Rose again the third day? Yes, he did. Carried that precious blood. Sprinkled that mercy seat in heaven. So that we could shout glory this morning when we think about our sins being forgiven. Justice calling on us and mercy answering. Absolute truth. Oh, preacher, you think he's coming back? Nope, I know he is. Because the same book that gave me all the rest of that absolute truth, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen taken into heaven shall so come in like manner. He's coming. Absolute truth. Absolute truth concerning the Savior. There's only one Savior. Oh, surely you don't believe that. Well, it just depends. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I got that out of this book, Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Absolute truth concerning the Savior. Absolute truth concerning sin. I'm not going to go over it again, start into it again. But you know how we know what's right and what's wrong? God give us a book.
Amen.
Let me just say this to you. Listen to me real carefully right here. God didn't only give us a book, God gave us a conscience. And unless a person's conscience has been seared with a hot iron, they know what's right and what's wrong before they ever come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. Honey, when I was a teenager, listen, involved in the things I was in, I didn't have to be told it was wrong. Is anybody home? Because there is something besides this old book. There's the spirit that God put in man. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit now. I'm just talking about the spirit of man, that consciousness. You say, preacher, you ain't got no proof for that. How about this? Adam and Eve messed up. What'd they do? Sew fig leaves together. They didn't hear a voice from heaven saying, sew fig leaves together. They didn't have some professor come by and say, y'all are naked. They realized they were guilty immediately. And they started trying to cover it up. Immediately. Absolute truth. There is such a thing as absolute truth concerning the Savior, concerning sin. In other words, let me just give you this. Here's where we're at today, and here's why a lot of people in this country are mad right now. The Constitution is no longer an evolving document. How many heard what I just said? They're tore out of the frame because they can't no longer make it say what they want it to say. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you this morning, I've got a book in my hand that is not an evolving document. It's forever settled in heaven. That's what the Word of God said. You say, preacher, why do they write a new Bible every week or two? I'll tell you why. They don't like what it says, so they want to make it say what they want it to say. They don't like the word he. They don't like the word she. I got a saying for that. Gag a maggot off the gut wagon. Say amen. God still created a male and female. Go back here to the nursery. Brother Lance in the hospital. And somebody says, what is it? Brother Lance turned around and said, I don't know. He's either going to say it's a boy or it's a girl. You don't know why? That's how God made them. That's how God's still making them. Boys and girls. I'm not upset this morning. I'm just trying to tell you the reason the division's the way it is. Ain't cause of pastor. Ain't cause of the church. It's cause of him. He's the one that laid the line to the plummet, Brother Steve. He's the one, listen, he ain't kinking it for nobody. Straight up and down. I don't know who's walking closest to the Lord. But I tell you, whoever they are, they're the one that's most concerned about this right here, Brother Thurman. Not pleasing pastor. Brother Brian's a wonderful Sunday school teacher, but not to please my Sunday school teacher, not to please my wife, not to please my children, not to please my church, but to please my God. That's how we ought to live. That's why Brother Mitchell has stood in pulpits just like this for years and years and years and never trimmed the message. Preach sin just like it is. Preach the Savior just like he is. Preach the book just like it is.
to people just like they are. That's why we admire him. He never did cave. I say this morning, it has to do with the truth concerning the Savior. It has to do with the truth concerning the Scripture. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It has to do with the truth concerning sin. It has to do with the truth, and I'm done, concerning salvation. There's not a Baptist way and a Methodist way and a Muslim way and a Hindu way. There's a Bible way. Amen. There's a Jesus way. Amen. There's a born-again way. There's a blood-bought way. And it's all taught in that Bible. I don't know about you this morning, but God has flooded my soul with some peace. You say, preacher, it's going to get better. Who said? Jesus says it's going to get worse. I'm just glad, Brother Grizzle, I'm on the right side. There's a division among the people. Jesus said, let me give you something right quick. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. He that gathereth not into my sheepfold scattereth abroad. I've heard people, how many of y'all heard that fence straddling preached? 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church, and you hear all that. Ain't one problem with it. It ain't taught in the Bible. You either is or you ain't. You're either in or you're out. You're either heaven bound or you're going to hell when you leave this world. You're either born again or you're dead in trespasses and sin. You've either been bought with a price and you're not your own, or you're still your own, living in sin. Can't be both ways. The truth concerning salvation. The air current in here, me walking around, maybe even my voice, is causing that to move just ever so slightly. But let me tell you something. Oh, this is good. That up there ain't moved a bit, brother. Glory to God. Woo! I didn't mean to say that. That's the way we are, ain't we, Brother Lance? The current. Our kids, our precious kids, our precious teenagers. That's why they got to watch the current they get in. Some of that current's doing its best to move them away from the things of God. So there was a division among the people because of him. Sister Tina, I think I heard you sing the song about the right side of Calvary. I'm glad I'm on the right side. Glad I'm on the right side. He said, preacher, I don't know why you preach like you do. I'll tell you why. I want everybody to be on the right side. A pastor struggles to think that Jesus would come and we'd be called out of here. That some of his people would be left sitting on a bench. That's a burden. Because I got sense enough to know that everybody that puts a Bible under their arm goes to church is not in a right relationship with that man up there. That man is called Jesus. None other name under heaven. You must be born again. Why, preacher, are you going to heaven? I tell you why. Because that man came down here, took on a body, the form of a man, went to the cross. He lived perfect. He was born perfect. He lived perfect. He died perfect. He rose again perfect. Just exactly according to God's plan, so that he could give me his righteousness. He could take away my unrighteousness and give me his righteousness when I put my faith and my trust in Him. It's my prayer this morning that if you've been kind of tore up, you'll get some peace. Not peace because of who's in power, but peace because of who's on the throne. He's still a divider of men. The scripture Brother Steve read yesterday, I can't quote it, but a father would be at variance with his son. A mother would be at variance with her daughter, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, father-in-law, son-in-law. Jesus said, think not that I'm come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. You say, that's not the Jesus I've heard about. You probably ain't heard about the one that turned the tables over in the temple either. You probably ain't heard about the one that's angry with the wicked every day.
Amen.
We're living in a generation, they hear grace, they hear love, and they hear mercy, and they like it, they like it, they like it. But according to the Apostle Paul, when he challenged Timothy, two-thirds of preaching ought to be negative. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And you know what we're doing today? Exhort, 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 and exhort me some more. That ain't never got nobody in a right relationship with God. We got to see ourselves like we are, see Him like He is, and realize we have a need. And when we do, He can help us. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to stand. Lord, I'm glad there is not one ounce of doubt in my mind as to whether or not I have proclaimed truth. Lord, this truth is absolute. I pray, Father, this morning that You would speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, this morning that we that are saved would just thank God that we're on the right side of Calvary, that we would try wherever we go, wherever we work, wherever we live, to be a reflection of our Savior. I pray at the same time, Lord, there are people here that are saved, yet, Lord, there's a kink in that line as their relationship to the Savior. They're trying to bend it a little, but Lord, the line's not going to bend. It's going to stand forever. Lord, I pray You'd speak to that heart. Lord, the heart of that one that's not saved this morning. Dear God, there may be several here this morning that realize if they died this day, that heaven would not be their home. They'd lift their eyes like the rich man in the region of the damned. God, that's not Your will. That's not our will. Lord, You said it wasn't Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Help us, Lord, today. Help us, we pray.